the good news from Mark. This is the good news about Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of God. One of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, wrote about him saying, "Look, I'm going to send a messenger before him to prepare the road. He will be a very loud voice out in the desert telling everyone to prepare for the coming of the Lord." By saying this, he will be paving a roadway, so to speak. So John the Baptist arrived and went out into the wilderness, where he was both baptizing and preaching the need to repent from sin and be forgiven. From the province of Judea and even the big city of Jerusalem, many, many people went out to hear him in the desert, both to hear him speak and to be baptized in the Jordan River, and many admitted they were sinners. John was a rough dude, dressed in a camel skin, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate things like locust and honey. When he preached, he said things like, "Soon you will see someone who is much greater than me. I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandals. I've been baptizing you in the river. When he comes, he will lay on you the power of God's Holy Spirit." Soon afterwards, Jesus came down from his home village of Nazareth, up in a region called Galilee. When Jesus got there, he had John baptize him in the river too. As soon as Jesus came up out of the river, immediately the sky opened up, and God's Holy Spirit, taking the form of a dove, flew down and landed on Jesus. Then everyone heard God the Father speak, "This is the Son I love, and I'm very pleased with him." Immediately, the Holy Spirit had Jesus go deep into the desert. He lived out there for 40 days with no other people around, just lots of wild animals. But also during this time, the devil, Satan, came and tempted Jesus. But God sent some angels down from heaven to care for Jesus. Soon afterwards, John the Baptist was arrested by King Herod and thrown into jail. Jesus then returned to his home region of Galilee, and he went all over preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. His message was pretty simple. It's time for the kingdom of God to come. So turn from your sins and believe the good news. One day, Jesus was walking on the beach by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers fishing with their nets. Their names were Simon and Andrew, and they were professional fishermen. Jesus told them, "Come, follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for the souls of men." Immediately, they got out of their boats, left their nets behind, and walked off with Jesus. A little further down the shore, Jesus saw two more brothers, the sons of Zebedee, named James and John. They were in their boats, fixing their nets. When Jesus spoke to them, they left their father with the hired help, and they too started following Jesus. All of them went into the little town of Capernaum. On the Sabbath day, they entered the local synagogue. Jesus got up and started teaching everyone from the scriptures. Well, everyone was amazed by his grasp of doctrine because he taught with understanding and authority, not like the synagogue leaders. Sitting in the synagogue hearing this was a man who was demon-possessed. The man started acting crazy, yelling out loudly, "Let us alone! What are you going to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Will you destroy us? We know who you really are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus commanded the demon in the man, "Shut up. Come out of him now." Hearing this, the demon threw the man down onto the floor, and with a loud shriek came out of him and left him for good. That got everyone talking. People who saw this were saying, "Oh, what's up with this? What kind of doctrine and teaching is this?
He speaks and even the demons obey and leave.
The result of this miracle was that Jesus became famous all over Galilee. So all of them, including James and John, left the synagogue and went over to the house owned by Simon and Andrew. When they got there, they found Simon's mother-in-law sick in bed with a high fever. As soon as Jesus took her hand, another miracle occurred. Immediately, she was cured of the fever and felt so well that she got up and waited on them. And all day, in the evening, after the sun had set, many people came to see Jesus. Often, they too were sick or were demon-possessed. Indeed, it seemed like the whole village was waiting for him outside the door to Simon's house. So Jesus spent the whole day healing people of various illnesses and casting out demons. But because the demons knew who he really was, he never allowed them to say anything. Early the next morning, before sunrise, Jesus got up and went out and found an isolated place where he could be alone and pray. But Simon and the rest of the gang went out and searched for him. Eventually, they found him and told him that crowds of people were looking for him. So Jesus said, let's now go from town to town. One of the reasons I came was to preach in all these places. So Jesus and the crew went all over the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, healing sick people, and casting out demons. One day, a man with leprosy came up to Jesus. He knelt down before him and said, if you are willing, I know you can heal me of this disease. Suddenly, Jesus felt very touched, very compassionate for this sick man. So he did the unthinkable. He reached out and touched this leper, saying, I'm willing. Be cured of your disease. Miracle of miracles. Immediately, that man was healed of that nasty old leprosy. Jesus then spoke sternly to the man and sent him away. Jesus had told him, say nothing to anyone about how you were healed, but go down to the temple in Jerusalem, find the priest, and show him that you've been healed. Then offer the proper sacrifice for the healing from leprosy. If you do that, this will be a powerful testimony to the priest. But the man was so excited about being healed, he didn't do what Jesus had told him. He blabbered on to anyone and everyone about how Jesus had healed him. The result of all this unwanted publicity was that Jesus couldn't walk around openly in any of the towns. He and the disciples had to stay way out in the remote desert areas. But even out there, people came from all over looking for him. The good news from Mark chapter 2. After a few days out in the desert, Jesus and his new disciples returned to the town of Capernaum. Very quickly, word got around that he was back in town. Soon, so many people came to see Jesus, there wasn't room to hold them all in the house. Some had to sit outside, but he preached the word to all of them. And four guys brought a friend of theirs to see Jesus. He was paralyzed, so they carried him on a litter. Because of the large crowd, they couldn't even get close to Jesus. So they went up onto the roof of the house, broke through the tiles, and lowered the man, litter and all, down into the room where Jesus was preaching from. Looking at the man and his friends, Jesus understood that they had great faith. So he said to the paralyzed man, dude, all your sins are now forgiven. When some of the synagogue leaders in the crowd heard this amazing promise, they thought to themselves, why is this carpenter speaking blasphemy? Only God can forgive sins. Immediately, Jesus knew what all of them were thinking about. So he answered their unspoken thoughts. Why are you thinking these things? Answer me. Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, all your sins are now forgiven? Or to say, stand up, pick up your litter and walk? But let everyone here may know that I, the Son of Man, had the power to forgive sins. I'm now going to say to this crippled man, stand up. Good. Now, pick up your bed and go home to your house. Immediately, the paralyzed man stood up, rolled up his litter, and walked home. See ya! Rather see ya and be ya! Ha ha! The whole crowd was amazed and gave glory to God. Hey, we've never seen anything like this, eh, Joe? After this, Jesus and the disciples left the town and returned to the Sea of Galilee. Again, though, the crowds followed him, and he kept teaching them from the Word of God. As he was walking along, Jesus saw Matthew, sometimes called Levi. He was the son of Alphaeus, and he was sitting in his tax collection booth. Jesus said to him also, follow me now. So Matthew closed up his booth and went off with Jesus. Jesus ended up at Matthew's house, sharing a meal with him. Many other folks came also, regular people, even some known to have a sinful lifestyle. They all ate with him and were following him about. Of course, when the religious leaders of the day, experts in the law or from the Pharisee party, saw Jesus' behavior, they were outraged and questioned his disciples. How come Jesus hangs out with such lowlifes? On hearing their complaints, Jesus told them bluntly, a healthy person doesn't need a doctor. Only sick people go to a doctor. As for me, I did not come here to fix those living righteous lives, but to tell sinners to repent and believe the good news. Noting that both the followers of John the Baptist and the Pharisees routinely fasted, they asked Jesus how come his followers didn't fast. Jesus asked them, when you go to a wedding, do the relatives of the groom fast? Of course not. As long as they're guests of the groom, they don't stop eating. But soon the groom will leave with his bride, and everyone will stop eating. They'll miss the groom's presence. To put it another way, who sews a piece of new cloth onto a piece of old torn clothing? It'll tear away too, and you'll have an even a larger rip in the cloth. Or, no one puts strong new wine into beat up old wineskins. That wine is too strong for those old skins. It'll eat through the skins and everything will burst, wasting the good wine. No, everyone knows you put strong new wine only into the newest skins. Later on, one Sabbath day, Jesus and the guys were walking through someone's field. The disciples were hungry. So they plucked some grain as they walked and were eating it. Well, the Pharisees got all bent out of shape over this, and they argued with Jesus. How come your men are breaking the laws of the Sabbath day by plucking and eating that grain? Jesus reminded these experts of Jewish law. Don't you remember the story of King David and his men? When they were hungry and had no other food, they stopped by the house of God when Abiathar was high priest. And how? They ate the special altar bread reserved for the priest. You've got it backwards. The Sabbath day was made to benefit people, not for people to be slaves of it. Understand that I, as the Son of Man, am in control of the Sabbath. The good news from Mark chapter 3. Another time, Jesus entered a synagogue and met a man with a very deformed hand. Everyone was watching him to see if he dared to heal anyone on the Sabbath day. They were looking to accuse him of wrongdoing before the leaders. Then Jesus spoke to the man with the messed up hand. Stand up. And he asked these questions to those watching. Is it legal to do good things on the Sabbath? Or is it better to do something evil? Is it okay to save a life or better to kill? But no one had anything to say back to him. Jesus looked around the room and became angry. He was upset because their hearts were so hard and uncompassionate. So he said to the man, stretch out your bad hand.
So the man obeyed, and immediately his hand was made as good as new, just as good as his other hand. Well, the Pharisees were outraged that he'd done this. So they got together with the Herodians, a political party they normally hated. Together, they plotted how they could kill Jesus. But Jesus escaped their plot by going with his disciples back to the Sea of Galilee. However, again, many, many people from the regions of Galilee and Judea came looking for him. People came from all over to find Jesus. They came from the region of Idumea, from the area on the other side of the Jordan River, and from the city of Jerusalem. People even came from far away foreign cities like Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus had the disciples hire a boat, and they went out onto the water. This was because there were simply too many people on the shoreline pressing against him. He had become so famous by healing so many people that everyone just wanted to touch him so they could be healed of their illnesses too. And some people were demon-possessed. When the demons saw Jesus, they threw the people they possessed down onto the ground. And sometimes in the seizures, and the demons wailed loudly, "You are the Son of God!" But Jesus told all the demons to shut up because he didn't want everyone to know who he really was yet. Later, to escape the crowd, Jesus took his new band of followers up onto a high mountain. Then he proceeded to select a few good men who agreed to follow him. At this time, he handpicked 12 guys who would always be with him. His goal was to train them and to send them out to preach the good news. He gave these 12 guys some of his own power so they could heal sick people and even cast out demons. When he chose Simon, he renamed him Peter. He also appointed the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Because of their temperament, he called them Boanerges, sons of thunder. The other apostles he chose were Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas. He also chose another James, the son of Alphaeus, and also Thaddeus, and another Simon, a member of the Zealot political party, who was from Canaan. Lastly, he picked Judas Iscariot, who eventually would betray him. After this, they all retired to someone's house. But again, a great crowd searched them out, and they couldn't even eat supper in peace. On seeing the crowd, the disciples tried to draw Jesus away, knowing the whole situation was upsetting him. Even some religious leaders from Jerusalem showed up at the house, and they were taunting Jesus, saying, "Jesus is possessed by Beelzebub. By the power of the prince of all demons, he casts out other demons." But Jesus answered their taunts with some questions. How can Satan destroy himself? If there is division in the kingdom, that kingdom won't stand, but will collapse. If a family is divided, it too will be ruined. So if Satan is doing battle with his own demons, his kingdom is in big trouble. Look, no burglar can enter a tough guy's house and steal his stuff. To do so first, you have to overpower the tough guy and tie him up. Only then can you rob him. I'm speaking the truth. Men can be forgiven all sorts of sinful behavior, even curses against God's name. But listen to me. Listen to me. If anyone curses God's Holy Spirit, that person will never be forgiven. He's in danger of being condemned to hell forever. Jesus explained all this to them because, in effect, they were accusing him, the Son of God, of being demon-possessed. After this, Jesus was visited by members of his own family, his mother and his brothers. They came because they thought he might be acting a little C-R-A-Z-Y. The crowd sitting outside the house was calling him that his mom and brothers had arrived. But Jesus asked the people a riddle. "Oh yeah? Who really is my brother and my mother?" Looking around the crowd, Jesus answered the riddle. Look about you. Don't you see my mother and brothers? Anyone who does the will of God is my brother and my sister and even my mother. Hi, Mom. Hey, guys.
The good news from Mark chapter 4. Again, a great crowd of people was following Jesus, and he wanted to teach them from the word. There were so many people that they got a boat, and Jesus taught them from the boat while they were on the beach. So they could understand, he taught them doctrine by using stories and parables. Listen, a farmer took his bag of seed and began to sow it in the field. Some of the seed he threw down landed on the path, and the birds came and gobbled it up. Some seed fell among stones where there was little soil. This seed sprang up quickly but had little root. When the hot sun came up, it soon withered away and died. Some seed fell among thorns. When the plants grew, the weeds completely overran the good plants, and there was no fruit produced. But some seed fell onto good, fertile soil. These plants produced a lot of fruit, sometimes 60 or 30 or 60 or even 100 pieces from one seed. And Jesus warned them, pay attention to what you're hearing. Later that day, when he was alone with the disciples, they were asking what this story meant. This kind of frustrated Jesus. You 12 guys have been given the inside track to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. All these other people, I have to speak to them in stories. They see and hear, but they don't understand anything I say. If they did, they'd all repent and get converted. But Jesus had to explain the story to them also. Don't you understand this simple story? How can I teach you other stories? The farmer isn't spreading real seed. He's like a preacher spreading the word of God. The seed that falls on the path and is eaten by the birds is like the person who hears the word, but Satan tempts him and he falls into sin anyway. The seed that falls onto the stones and has little root is like the person who hears God's word and likes it for a little while, but when life gets tough, he's out of here. The seed that falls among weeds is the person who thinks he's a Christian, but really loves the things and pleasures of this world more than me. The person never produces any fruit for my kingdom, just for himself. The seed that falls on good ground, well, that's the person who not only hears my word, but obeys and acts on it. That person becomes very fruitful in my kingdom, impacting 30 or 60 or 100 others in my name. Let me put it another way. Do you light an oil lamp and cover it with a basket or put it under your bed? No. To make use of its light, you put it on a lampstand. The things I'm talking about seem hidden and secret, but soon everything will be clear. Guys, pay attention to what you're hearing. One day you'll be judged according to how much you understand. If you understand a lot, my Father will trust you with more responsibility. The more you have, the more you'll get. But if you act foolishly, Judas, what you have will be taken away and given to another. Another story might help. The kingdom of God is like the farmer who plants his crop. Night after night, he sleeps and gets up in the morning. He doesn't think too much about the seed. He knows that one day there will be a fine crop. The earth does its job. And soon there will be stalks with grain on them. When the farmer sees that, he knows that it's time to bring in the harvest, and he does. Or, my kingdom is like the mustard seed. You all know it's just a tiny speck of a seed. But when planted, whoa, it becomes the biggest bush in the garden. So big, It has many branches with all sorts of birds sitting and nesting there. This is Jesus' way of teaching. He told story after story to explain the Word of God. He hardly ever spoke without telling some story. Even then, he often had to pull his men aside and explain it to them. After he told these stories about the kingdom of God, it became dark. So he and the apostles took the boats to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They told the crowds to go home. Jesus and the disciples then crossed the sea in a bunch of boats. While out on the sea, Jesus took a nap down inside the boat. While he slept, a great storm arose, and the boat was tossed by the wind and was filling up with water. The others woke him up because they were afraid the boat was about to sink. Don't you care about us? So, Jesus got up, went up onto the deck, and shouted into the storm, "Peace! Calm down!" Immediately, the storm ceased, and the sea was instantly calm. And he challenged them, "Why were you all afraid of the storm? You have such a little faith in me." But the disciples were still afraid and talked about this among themselves. What kind of dude is this? Even the wind and the sea listen to him.